Hey, what's up, everyone? How are you all doing today? My name is Jordan McCracken Foster, and I'm a teaching artist here at Art Prop, and I'm here today with my birthday twin, Laura Welch. So if you guys want to learn how to turn your artistic weakness into your strength, definitely check out artprof.org, where we have lots of free resources, tutorials, critiques, art dares, pro development, etc., etc. And it's going to be a really amazing resource for you all. And today, why don't you explain what we're focusing on, Lauren, since this is your first draw along with us?
Yeah, today we are doing patterns on clothing, which is kind of a gimme from Clara, who picked it out for us because this is my first draw along with you guys here. Jordan's doing digital on Procreate, right, Jordan?
Yes, correct.
Okay, and I am doing markers, traditional media. So we've got a double feature for you going on. And this first wonderful lady that we have here is Iris Apfel, who is, some of you might know her as a huge fashion icon. I'm pretty sure she has done other things. I think she's done some design type work. And I think that she might be famous beyond that, but mostly I just know her for really cool outfits. So hopefully you guys all have your materials ready to start with us because this is very overwhelming for a pattern to start with, right, Jordan? Like, how do you conceptualize this?
Oh, well, I'm gonna figure that out as I go. But
Yeah, me too.
yeah, I mean, the way I honestly, I think I'm gonna start this like any other drawing that I would do and just focus on, the clothing and the folds and stuff like that, and then get into the patterns later on. By the way, guys, as a reminder, Lauren's gonna be doing her markers. I'm gonna be working on Procreate, but you can use whatever medium you want. It doesn't have to be whatever we're doing. So let's try it. Let's see. This
Oh,
pattern
this is
is
so
so,
weird.
yeah, this pattern is so complex. I mean, just I don't even know where to start with some of this stuff. She's got like this chain necklace and or I don't even I feel
Yeah, this is
like
like a giant chain.
yeah, this is gonna be interesting. All right.
You know how food people, when you get high enough up in the cuisine world, you're basically eating things that aren't even food anymore. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
I feel the same with her outfits. Like, these aren't even clothes anymore. What is this around her neck? I don't know.
Yeah, I could totally see that because you know who she reminds me of?
Who?
You've seen The Incredibles, right?
Yeah.
This
Oh,
reminds me of Edna for some reason, like like the costume designer, you know?
Yeah, I actually think so. Edna is based off of a real person, but I don't think it's her, like a real fashion designer.
Oh,
But
that's right. You're right.
those glasses are definitely fashion designer glasses, you know?
Yeah, it might be the glasses that's just kind of tipping me off a little bit because I'm like, how do you? It's amazing.
Only high art fashion people wear those glasses.
It's insane. I couldn't imagine. These probably got to be so heavy, right?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't
I
wear glasses, so.
mean, she's so small too.
She, yeah.
I feel like those glasses are, I feel like that chain is like 20 pounds.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't want to wear that all day long.
Yeah.
That just looks rather uncomfortable. But if it's for the sake of fashion, I guess, then it's fine.
Yeah. Oh, I don't even know how to start with this. I'm just like very stiff. This is the first drawing I've done this morning. Live, no less. So
Okay.
it's probably not up to standard really here, but
We screw up
whatever.
all the time, Lauren. You're gonna be fine.
Okay.
Blue Wall Spirit says, can they explain their thinking on how they're going to attack this? All right, Lauren, do you want to strike first, or do you want me to do it?
I can start first since I got a lot down here so far, I guess. I need to at least put the body together because if I start doing the patterning right away, I'm going to die. I'm going to just entirely get lost in the pattern, and it's going to turn into a blob. So usually if I was being really smart and feeling really loose and using my art prop skills, I'd be blocking out bits of color and going with that. But I'm kind of doing like a cross between a gesture drawing in that, and then I'll start filling in and doing folds once I get that down. What about you, Jordan?
Yeah, honestly, about the same. It's too, like, look at that. Look at this pattern. Like, that is way too much for me to start worrying about that too soon. It's much easier for me to just say, okay, here's her sitting. Let's get an image of her sitting down, and then we can go from there. Yeah. And I mean, I'll see what I can do with the colors. That's going to be a little challenging considering there's like 45 colors in that jacket alone, yeah, or blazer, whatever you want to call it, but we're going to see how it goes. The other thing that I'm also going to do is I don't know how many drawings I'm going to get through. We have several photo references, and typically I tend to draw fast, but since the focus is on patterns, I might just get through this one or maybe two. I don't know. I'm not going to stress myself on how I can finish, you know?
Same. I was going to say that I am very slow. So when Clara gave us six references, it was like, oh man, I'm not even, we need to do one or two.
Yeah. Yeah. There's one that we both liked that hopefully we'll get to. Yeah. Lauren knows which one I'm talking about, but just to, if you guys want to see all our options, I believe they're in the link below. Neil's asking, Lauren, why don't you start with a pencil sketch or something?
I never use pencil with markers because pencils give me the temptation to erase, and then I will just be doing pencil forever. I actually rarely use pencil at all for anything except maybe thumbnails. And also, one thing that I really dislike about pencil is that when you put marker over it, specifically a light marker, it will show through, which is a pain. It makes it look dirty. And I just very, I'm not even clean, you know, I'm not even a super clean artist, but I just, I can't deal with the pencil. So look, I'm doing all the bad things. I've already put in like the really dark, intense stuff way before you're supposed to, but it's okay because we're just having fun here.
Yeah, just have fun. So basically, in short, pencils give you the heebie-jeebies, huh?
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's too detailed too soon.
Yeah, that's fair.
What about, I mean, Jordan, you're kind of, you really are blocking out an actual sketch, though. You've paid a lot of attention to how the body is sitting and how your clothing feels very studied. It feels very real here. So it seems like you're focusing on that logic first.
Yeah, it helps me so much because otherwise I'll start paying attention to things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things. You know, I think I like to spend most of my time worrying about construction and form and volume and those core principles that we always talk about in art class or on art prof, and then, you know, get to the fun details later. And just because it happens to be a patterning stream, that's, you know, why I really want to make sure I spend time doing that. Because part of what makes patterns so interesting is when they go around the form of the body. You know, it's not just a flat rug. It's, you know, it's a complex pattern that's going across her arm and her chest and her waist and all that stuff. And got to pay attention to that, you know?
Totally. That's, that is really smart. I feel like I, in painting, these things are important. The skills that we talk about on Art Prof are, of course, important. But I think that there's also this feeling, there's this Superman feeling in painting, where if you are just assertive enough, if you just are confident enough about the marks that you're making, you can make it totally wrong and or do it the totally wrong way, and that is fine, and it will still come out okay. So that's basically my approach to patterning, is I don't know what this body looks like. I don't even really care. I just need some kind of foundation, and then I can just like go to town in pattern world.
We have a comment from Anonan. What kind of paper is best to use for markers?
Great question. A thick one, thick paper, because I don't know if you can see this. Oh yeah, even on this one here. I don't know if you can see that, but it bleeds through. This is pretty thick paper that I'm using. I'm currently using Legion paper, Stonehenge colors, which I think is generally very good, and I like working on it. Bristol board is great for markers because it's nice and smooth. You generally want something smooth, not toothy. But my material of choice is illustration board because it's super, it's like super, super, super thick. Like, I don't know if you can see it, but it's got a real edge to it there. So as long as you got something thick, it's probably fine. Oh, I lost my drawing here for a second.
I'm trying to keep track of this chain necklace. I'm like, which one in and out? let's see.
Do you Neil's, like, huh? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to read this comment from Neil. It says, Lauren, when I'm using markers, I'm afraid that I'll go too dark too fast and I won't be able to erase or lighten my marks. Any tips?
Oh, that, yes, totally. I have the same issue as you, Neil. And that, instead of using pencil, I use the lightest marker that I own. So here I used a yellow marker, which is actually fairly dark, but I want you guys to see what I was doing so far. When I am doing this on my own, I have a gray, I don't have it here. It's a 10% gray marker, and that creates a really light mark, and I can go over things over and over and over again with it, and it won't get too dark. And then I can cover it up with other markers later, and you won't even see it. So I guess I do sketches, actually.
Markers has always been a little bit of a fear of mine for that reason, actually, that Neil asked, because I like to change stuff all over and over again. And I guess that's part of why I like pencils so much. I try not to erase, but every once in a while, you know, it's like that arm is totally wrong. Got to change it. Got to fix it.
Yeah, I mean, I have the same fear, and that's actually why I use markers, because, so it's funny, we have the same issue, but different reactions to that issue.
Yeah, I guess so.
Like right now, I don't have a marker that really fits. I don't have a peachy color that's super light. So I'm drawing these hands, and her hands are super light, so I'm just going to have to end up making up a color. She's going to come out a lot darker than she is in real life. I'll probably just put in those shadows now. Not even on the patterns yet. It's just all body. Ooh, you made her look super hot.
I'm not even sure how to respond to that.
Like, is this Iris at 20, at age 20?
I just haven't put on wrinkles yet.
are wrinkles a kind of pattern then?
That really, I don't know. I never thought about it like that. But for me, it's easy to just get the frame, and then because wrinkles are so easy to add. Call it, because if you ever want to age someone up, you just give them some bags under their eyes. Put some wrinkles on the side of their mouth like that. And
Ooh. Oh, that's so cool. You did that so quickly.
Yeah, so it's like now she's closer to the age that she probably is. I'm not going to take a guess, but.
Does anybody know how old she is? I feel like she's been around forever.
This is the first time I've ever seen her. I'm not even going to try to take a guess and either embarrass or insult. I'm not trying to do that. So, yeah.
I've seen her a lot, but mostly because when I was a young RISD person, I had super fashion and she wasn't my idol, but people said she should be my idol. So I got a lot of Facebook posts that were like, check this out. This is going to be you when you're 90. And I'm like, cool. I mean, I really admire her, but we do have different styles. And also now I'm a grungy person that spends all my time in studio and doesn't want to get paint on my clothes. So I just wear things that I bought from the thrift store.
Well, does she wear this when she's doing her work or just when she's presenting and like on the cover of whatever?
I mean, honestly, Jordan, I think this is her work at this point. It's to look really good. I am missing... Sometimes this happens where I have so many markers that I can't find the marker that I want. Disappeared.
I know that place. Oh, we have a comment from Eric. What?
Oh, no.
Wait, what? I'm so...
Angelic Enigma says that she died in 2015.
Oh.
I did not know this. Wow.
Oh, snap. 99. Oh, wow.
She's 99? Oh, my God.
Erica Baker says, have either of you done garment construction or design? Well, I know, I definitely haven't. I'm not even sure what that would entail, to be honest with you. I've done stuff like this, where I've designed clothes for characters or, you know, drew what I saw, but never actually designed my own clothing.
Yeah, I made, when I was at RISD, I made a shirt. And I made a couple other shirts and I helped my mom with a prom dress once, but that is about it. I know nothing about clothing.
Yeah, I have an appreciation for it though. Like I was talking on the last stream I did with Deep D, mm-hmm. I was talking about how I saw Coming to America, the sequel, and
How was it? Oh,
not
sorry.
Not in terms of story and all that, not as good as the first one, but the clothing and the design of the world of Zamunda was so amazing. I loved it. I was like, this looks awesome. I want to go here. I wish people wore clothes like this all the time. It was great. Visually very stunning, but otherwise, meh. They didn't need
to. All looks, no story.
It's, yeah. Let's put it like this. They basically copied everything from the first movie. But it was kind of fun though, because they got like all the actors from the original, like everyone, even the dude who worked at McDowell's, I don't know his name, but there's only like two actors in the entire movie that I don't think that I saw.
Yeah. I don't remember who I knew that there was someone that didn't show up. I can't remember who it was.
It was. The sister, Lisa's sister.
Oh, and, okay.
The villain from the first movie, the Soul Glow guy.
Okay, okay. Yeah. That was who I was thinking of. I think I was thinking of the villain.
Yeah. Forget his name. Daryl, that was his name.
Daryl, yes. Well, that's fine because he was a jerk anyways.
For sure.
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, you can finish.
Oh, you know Eddie Murphy's friend in that show? I don't remember his name.
Arsenio Hall? Simi?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I had such a crush on him. Such a crush on him. I really want to see that movie so I can see him again.
Arsenio. Yeah, he's definitely not as major of a role in this movie, but he's definitely got his roles. Soytonly is asking, how permanent are markers?
How common are they?
Permanent.
Oh, how permanent. It depends what type you're using. These ones I'm using, not permanent at all. They have a real big light fast issue if you're using dye-based markers. That would be Copics, Prismacolors, anything that you can mix the colors is not good. But there are a type of markers called acrylic markers, which I generally use. I'm not using them right now. These are just the markers in my studio. And because they are using pigment instead of dye, they tend to be a lot more light fast. So actually, this is really great. Any of you illustrators out there who are interested in selling artwork, don't, if you're using markers, unless they're pigment-based markers, do not sell the original. Put that original in a flat file and just sell digital copies, because the copy, the print is going to last so much longer than the original.
Good tip. Okay.
To help. Okay. I started doing the patterning. Where are you right now? Oh, you need to do some patterns, Jordan. What? We're 20 minutes in.
I was literally just about to say I'm going to start some patterning. You beat me to it. So I'm going to show you guys something real quick, a little tip. So with Procreate, you can, they have these texture brushes that are already built into Procreate, and it's labeled textures unless you rename it or something. And there's a lot of really cool stuff you can do. So I have this, sort of polka dot brush, but let me make it bigger so you guys can see, but I can just go over it and do all this really cool stuff, like, and create this. And if I want, like for her arm, if I'm trying to create that round shape, I could do a free transform and then warp at the bottom. Let me see.
I love this.
I don't know if you could see. Sorry. Let me just close the comp for just a second. Sorry, Neil. But anyway, there's a warp button at the bottom, and you could just pull it and you could just move it around like this and change the angle of how this is going. So I'm going to do stuff like that for the patterns. But let's see. Neil's asking, Lauren, you're not trying to match colors exactly. How do you know which marker color to choose?
So that's a hard one. Tone is probably the thing that I'm most worried about. So for instance, her necklace, that's like a black almost, but I don't really have that, nor do I like using that. So I'm just going to pick something that's tonally close. And then I think that there are, for lack of a better word, mental presets I have of colors that look good together, or colors that I like. And I try to pick out my colors somewhat ahead of time, so I know what to choose. So I don't know if you can see this little drawing here. It's mostly just little marks where I was testing out colors. And so that kind of helps me. And then everything else, tone, contrast are really the big ones, I think. So now we need purple. This is going to be fun. There are these little donuts in her. I really wish I could paint this. You know, you can only get so detailed on a 9x12 sheet of paper with markers.
Yeah. These are just, that's one thing that it takes a while to get used to, is just the fact that these are really, really quick sketches, and, you know, trying to do these demos and stuff. It's a challenge, guys. It really is. But it's still fun. It's like, because you have to solve all these problems as quickly as possible.
Yeah. It reminds me of when, Jordan, I don't know if you saw the cat tutorial that we did at all with my cats.
I don't know.
It's okay if you didn't. We used markers to draw the cats, and Tormund was wearing his really cute sweater that I love. And it was, I mean, they were mostly sleeping. They were saying, we put out boxes, which is great for cats. They love boxes. It's a real hack to keep them still. but they still are cats and need to move around and are not very good models. And so it was like you had to really put down colors really fast and patterns really fast. And so I'm trying to channel that energy, but it's hard because I'm working with a still image. Not complaining. I do like this, but it's hard.
Yeah, photo reference is your friend when it comes to drawing animals. They very rarely like to be still.
Yeah. Oh, I made a mistake. I found my first mistake. Well, I made a lot of mistakes, but this is the first one I have to fix. In the reference, there are these two different shapes. And I didn't make them right. So now there's a weird gap here in the pattern. I don't know if you can see that right there. So I'm just going to fill it in and pretend it's something. I'm going to pretend it's a fold.
We have a question from Domini Siri. Do you always use the same technique or do you get bored of the technique and try to give it a change? I'm not sure who that's guided to, but...
You can answer that.
Well, I mean, I don't know. In terms of technique for me, I do what... If I'm on a deadline, I'll do what works, what I know for sure works. Then there are times where I'm experimenting and stuff and I will just see. Most of the time, I tend to just do line drawings, and sometimes I do get a little bored of the way that I'm doing it, so I'll try changing up the style or something like that and see what else I can come up with. But every drawing is a different problem to solve, so I can't say that I will do everything the exact same way. You know, it just really, really depends. What about you, Lauren?
Yeah, I'm in agreement with that. I have something that works. I have a method that works. If I need to crank out drawings really quickly, I will use kind of the same method of putting in the light sketch with the 10% marker, like I was telling Neil, and then blocking my colors and then do my patterns and what have you, and then go into details later. That is what I'll do for, say, when I'm trying to get the bird drawings out and bird calendars. That I can't afford to screw up on. So I mean, sometimes I'll do my experimenting in the thumbnails for that, really, and leave the final thing really using a method that I know that works. But when I'm just out and about screwing around, I'll just do whatever. Sometimes I'll just color the whole thing and then use a white marker on top, or sometimes I'll blend so hard that it goes through the paper. That's specifically when I'm working with, say, Sonia, who is very intense with her markers and always tells me to like push my mark making harder. So it's situational, I think.
Vishaka Ray, isn't it difficult to get the proportions right with a marker? With pen, you can go over as it's just line, but mark it. But with marker, you are filling the whole area like the leg.
No, I think so. I got into marker because it's really similar to painting. With painting, you're not using a tiny brush to make your big canvas. You use your big brushes and then you go into your small brushes. And so that, I don't know how to say this. Learning a paint, I think, helps make markers easier, and using markers helps make painting easier. It's just a different way of seeing, I think, where you're just making shapes that kind of average out into each other, and every new shape that you add changes that average just a little bit in one direction to the other. So the averages overall kind of make sense, but it was, as I was saying too, it's not like painters really care. And so there's a certain amount of not caring. The proportions on here are not great. Her shoulders here are way too wide. I made her like look a little too fat really, but then her legs are very tiny. Like she doesn't look like she's sitting on the chair. It doesn't matter. No, it doesn't matter at all because I'm doing the patterns and that's what's fun. So my goal is to make the pattern so juicy and fun that you don't even care about how bad my proportions are.
Nice. Okay, I just threw in a completely random pattern because I don't know how to do, like, there's just not enough time in the stream to do every little thing. I think it's more important for me to just present how I would handle some sort of pattern.
Plus, this is so intense.
Yeah, like, this is so intense. And one side thing before I get to this next comment, if I was designing a character, I would never put him in a jacket that looked like this. Unless it was like a 3D model or something like that, redrawing this pattern over and over and over again is ridiculous. So that's why a lot of times you see animation doesn't really have crazy patterns like this unless it's a background or something that doesn't really move that much because it's just too time consuming.
Jordan, what would be your favorite pattern to use? If you were animating.
Favorite pattern to use?
So you want to show some kind of patterning in clothing. How would you choose something that would be light on the animators to do, but something that still looked rich?
Well, you can do like simple bold shapes. Like I have a character who has a pattern of a triangle border on the bottom of his cloak, mm-hmm. and it's just like there's like five or six triangles. And it's very simple, but it also gets the point across very easily. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something like that, that's just not super time consuming. So I just always think about simplicity. That's just a thing for me. It seems to work. It seems to work. So I'll do that, or I'll think about how I can convey threes in the pattern, because any less than three, it probably won't look like a pattern, you know? So if I have, you know, like one shape doesn't really convey pattern, it just stands out. Two, not quite there. When you get three or more, that's when it starts feeling like, oh, this is how it's supposed to be.
Wow. So it really depends on a very specific number of repetitions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Three, I think, is the minimum number for a pattern in anything, really. But yeah, especially when it comes to design and in terms of characters or whatever the case is.
You know, I'm so into pattern, Jordan, but I had not even thought about that, about the exact number. I think it's because I'm so much of a maximalist that I just go beyond that point very quickly without mm-hmm. thinking about it. But I'm gonna use that. I'm gonna try that. That sounds really interesting to me.
Yeah, it's fun. Cause if you're trying to convey patterns and you don't want to redo it over and over again, you have to find like the easiest way to not do the most amount of work and hate your life. Because if I start hating my life because of a character design, then clearly I need to readjust the way I design this character. There's something off there. And I wanna like what I do. So, you know.
Yeah, you need that efficiency and not go crazy. I wish you guys could see on this. I don't know if you can see how detailed this is right now. It's gotten so intense. I'm going to give her purple hair, I think.
Ooh.
Well, I just don't have any white, and I don't think even using a gray would look good on her. Let's see.
We have a comment from Dara that says, how do Prismacolors hold up against spilled water?
You know, I haven't tried it. There are actually, I think, ones that you can use with water, but I don't like using water in like any mediums really on paper because it will make the paper all warpy. And that's one of the reasons why I use illustration board too. So, I don't know. You'll have to test it out and let me know. There was another comment here. Hang on. I just like this comment as a comment. So Tamely says, it's hard to even watch both Jordan and Lauren's way of approaching this. I'm glad I'm not even trying to draw along. How many of you guys feel totally overwhelmed even looking at patterns?
I do when I'm on the stream.
Right now?
A little bit. But I'm like making stuff up. I'm like, this pattern does not exist here, but it doesn't mine now. So
I think that's got to be part of it, you know?
Yeah.
I see like a tree. Someone says, draw a tree. And I see all those leaves and my mind explodes. Like, I can't deal with it. So I just make up a leaf. I don't even look at the leaf. I just make up a mark and say, this is going to be the tree mark. Okay, I'm done. Goodbye. You have at least that cool brush that can make patterns for you, you know?
That is true. And I just have this urge to make everything seem like it's animated when it's really not. So I always think about simplicity. So I'm like, how can I not torture myself after I just woke up? I'll be honest, guys. I woke up maybe about half an hour before the stream started. So I'm like, this is me fresh. I'm trying to figure it all out.
Yeah, I am impressed that you are able just to roll out of bed and do a draw along like this. I had stress dreams all night.
Just because of the stream?
Yeah.
Aw, you'll get over it.
It's honestly fine. This is okay. It's fun. But I was not sure what to expect.
Yeah. It's nerve-wracking for the first little bit, and then after a while, it's like, oh yeah, it's like drawing with the homies, you know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, it's been fun so far. Oh, how do you deal with shadows? That's where I'm at right now. Don't know what to do. We did that light and temperature stream, and now I'm trying to figure out with all these colors. I think it's got to be a blue shadow because I've been using yellow as the base. Or a purple shadow, maybe. Sorry. I'm going to try this.
Time for me to figure out the jacket. Okay. We got a comment from W315 Bird. Lauren, are you starting with your lightest color for the patterns too?
Yes, generally speaking, yes. I want to put down the yellows first, and then I will put down the darker colors because you can't go back once you go dark. But unless you're using pigment markers, I should say that. Pigment markers, you can go over things and you'll get an opaque color. The other thing I want to say very quickly is that we have two super chats. One from Joey Ross. I've never even attempted a pattern before, so I'm so overwhelmed just looking at them. Thank you for this. Thank you so much for your super chat. You guys, you keep Art Prof going, and we literally were able to get this equipment because of your kind generosity. Then we also got a second super chat from Amorous Joseph for $1. Thank you so much, Amorous. Really, really appreciate it. I'm glad to have you guys on the stream with us here. Ah, sorry.
Thank you. All right. I think I'm over. What's this lady's name again? Please remind me.
Iris Apfel.
Yes.
You done?
Yeah, I think I'm ready to move on. I did my pattern thing. I'm just like, I'm okay.
Right. Okay. Now. Okay. Do you want to do the fun one now?
Yeah, I'm going to move on, but you can stay where you are if you want to.
I want to, let's see. We got, what, like 40-ish minutes?
Yeah, about 40 minutes.
Okay, I'm going to add my shadows. I'm going to kind of pretend finish this up, and then I'll join you.
Okay, for sure. Pretend finish. No.
Well, I'm going to pretend to fill in the patterns, and it's going to just not be patterny. It's gonna have a bold color. We will justify it as having a rest for the eyes because it's very intense to look at her.
Yes, it is. Maria says, how much do you think you can layer markers in mixed colors? They're not opaque, but bleed, right? If you put too much on it, will it go outside the area you want?
Yes, that depends on your paper. So the toothier papers are going to absorb more and you can't do a ton of layering on them. I, in fact, use a very light touch whenever I use toothy papers. But if you're using an illustration board or a Bristol board, really smooth surface, that will make it so you can layer a bit more. And then I also want to, like, that is really particular to the dye-based markers, to the alcohol-based markers. If you use the acrylic markers, all you have to do is wait, let them dry a little bit, and then layer on top, and you'll get a super crisp mark. I tend to use both types of markers in one work. I've been really pushing to use more acrylic markers, majority acrylic markers, because I really don't like the idea of having such light, fast work. But a few years ago, I would do a real mix of both of them because I liked having both crisp and bleedy, mixy effects. Okay. Oh, wow. Wow. I look up and we have another super chat from Hisoteric. Thank you so much. Always, oh wow, my head's in the screen. Always brightens my day to catch a live stream with you guys. Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow, you guys, this is awesome. This makes me feel much more confident about drawing.
Thank you guys. You guys are the coolest. And thank you, RBDick100 for the super sticker as well. You guys are so, so generous.
So nice. You guys are just the coolest people out of all of the people.
Oh, we have a comment for you, Jaden. It says, you work very well with markers. That looks great.
Oh, thank you. See, like, look at this now that I've just filled this in, even though there was no pattern. I actually almost like this better. So thanks for hurrying me on because I would have filled in the whole thing. I'm going to do her lips now, and that's going to be terrible, though. It's going to look, be very, very loud and intense.
I think that's what she wanted. I think that's how things.
That's what she wanted from me?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
She foresaw that we were going to draw her on a stream one day and was like, let me give him a run for her money.
So we've just been doing all these. If you've done the drawing marathon, guys, you know about how you've got to balance the face and get the facial features to fit within the face. I'm just going to disregard all of that right now and just draw the features on top of the face, and it's going to look hilarious.
Do what you got to do.
I got to do what I got to do to finish this.
Right.
She has the tiniest, tiniest eyes, and these really, this is like a caricature, is what I feel like.
Honestly, the way she dresses is kind of a caricature, and just in general, I think, I don't think she would be insulted by that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, she's just like a little character to me. That's just what I see.
Larger than life. I think there are movies about her.
Really?
Cool. Definitely. Definitely. Okay. Yeah. It just made her face too wide to begin with is the issue. So she looks kind of like someone that might do a cooking show. I made her have a very wide, welcoming face. I don't know who I'm thinking of. Who would do a cooking show that wears this outfit?
I don't know. I certainly wouldn't. I mean,
yeah.
I'd be afraid to spill something on there, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Brian Howie Ong is saying, Winsor & Newton has this, quote, pigment marker. Does that mean they're more light fast? I have no idea what was just asked.
Yes. Yes. Pigment marker is light fast, generally speaking.
What is light fast? What does that mean?
Light fast means so that's your markers are going to fade over time.
Mm-hmm.
And light fast means that they will not fade as much. Everything fades over time, but you want to get light fast paints or markers, because then people can hang them up in their houses and the UV light won't damage them.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to give her an ear. Okay, so that wasn't so bad. I had a marker that was dying. Okay, here's a good tip. Save your markers that are like mostly dead, because they can be really great for adding shading. It's almost like using a dry brush. So I have all these dead markers, but they're actually wonderful if I need just a little bit of subtlety and don't need the full kick.
Got to get your money's worth.
Yeah. Also, I just feel like it's so bad for the environment whenever you throw out markers. There are probably lots worse things that I do at the environment, but throwing out markers just always feels like a waste to me. Mm. It's actually one of the reasons why they don't use these Prismacolor ones too often, because you can't refill them. You can refill a marker, like a Copic marker. They're very expensive up front, but they end up being so cheap over time, because you can just refill them forever and ever, and the ink is not that expensive. Mm. But you can't do that with these ones.
You just reminded me, I have a friend who I went to college with, and she likes to save all the pencils that she's worked on just to show her progress. So she has a trillion little pencils that are like this big, and she has a jar of them, and it's
wow.
You know, and she'll collect them from friends, like whenever we're about to throw it out, she'll be like, no, give it to me, I'll hold on to it. And it's like a little bank of tiny pencils. It's great.
I love it. I don't even use pencils that small. Like I lose the pencil before it gets half size.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I have this whole little art bin thing where I have this thing like stacked with just pencil after pencil. It's just sometimes I can't even close it because it's that fill.
That's very, I feel like I did that in grade school. Like had a box like that I would carry everywhere and like make my drawings in my sketchbook.
Mm-hmm. That's what I have. It's like I'm in the third grade, and it works really well for me.
Or it just means that you kept your sketching studio habits, and I did not.
I don't know about that. Some people, I actually did get a comment one time. It's like, oh, I remember those from grade school. And I'm like, you know, I wasn't having a good day, so it's probably more of a joke, but I felt like, why are you attacking me, you know?
Oh.
Yeah, it was one of those days I didn't get sleep, so.
I wasn't attacking you.
No, I didn't do that.
Okay.
No.
I just always associate it with actually having one of those Strathmore sketchbooks that you're drawing in, and you're feeling really serious and you're growing your skills as an artist, being a young person. You're like, oh, I made this. And you show your friends, and your friends are like, oh, you're the artist in our group. You're so good. And now all I do is I have a sketchbook that I don't work in, kind of like how I have a stepping machine that I don't use, or a fruit blender that I also don't use.
Wait, it's called a fruit blender?
Well, one of those, what do you call them? Like, just it's like Vitamix knockoffs that.
Oh.
Because I went through a phase where I thought I was going to be really green and a healthy person, and that went out the window. I'm lucky to even have this orange in my studio right now. I brought this so I could eat it. It's been a week and I haven't eaten it yet.
I have smoothies so often now. That's part of my I have smoothies whenever I'm too lazy to cook anything sometimes. I'm just like, I need my greens, I need this and that, and I'll just put everything together in 5 minutes. I'll be like, all right, I'm good.
It's liquid nutrition.
Basically, it's the best.
I'm into that. I haven't done smoothies, or I don't know why. Smoothies are hard for me to make, even though they're super easy, but I do love soups. I love canned soups. I love making soups. Soups are really good.
Some people need to learn how to make smoothies. I remember, I won't embarrass my friend, say their name live, but they threw a whole pear in the blender one time. It was so funny to me because I was, you're supposed to, you know, cut fruit up in like little chunks for the blades to get through it. Just threw a whole pear in there. And I was like, what did you just do? Like, and it pulled it out and it looked like she just put it through the garbage disposal. It was hilarious.
You know what? You know what? That doesn't mean that they didn't know how to use the blender. It just means that they probably had a Vitamix. There are ads where they show like throwing computer chips, like whole computers, into the blender and the blender blends them up.
Not in this scenario, because we were in a cafeteria at school. Maybe on another try. I'm not going to let them go that easy. Marijic, I think. I have always wondered when one copies the pattern of a piece of clothing or fabric, whether that is not a way of plagiarism. I guess not, because artists do it all the time, but I have been wondering. That's a great question.
Yeah, I think that's a really great question. I'm starting the next one, by the way. I think it depends. Patterns are really weird because they are, someone designs the pattern and then that pattern is meant to be copied on 5 million things. And that person is supposed to be paid by a company, surface design is what it's called. They're supposed to be, that company is supposed to pay them for that thing. But I think if you mix and match patterns, for example, if you go to the fabric store and you buy some cloth, right, you can mix that up however you want and wear that, and that is your piece of clothing now, or that's your quilt. And I feel the same about painting or drawing. You're not making a pattern that goes onto things. You are making a different type of object that has a different set of uses. So, and also it's generally mixed up with a whole bunch of other things. You're not just making a drawing or a painting that's one straight pattern, generally speaking. So I think it really depends on how, what your use is. I don't know, Jordan, is that, do you have a different opinion on that?
No, I mean, it really does depend, because there are times, like concept artists, for example, a lot of what we do is there's something called photo bashing, which basically means you take a bunch of photos together and put them together like a collage and use it for a concept. And in that situation, it's totally okay, because the point is to get the idea across. There are times when you are moving to final and you have to make up a new pattern for yourself. Like, for example, there's an artist named Ryan Meinerding, and he is the head of visual development at Marvel Studios. So he does like all the MCU stuff, like Spider-Man, Captain America. And he had to make a unique pattern for the Black Panther suit, because if you look really closely, it's got all these little triangles and, you know, cool patterning and stuff like that. And I'm sure he was inspired by other things, but then he had to push it and make it up himself when it came to producing the final that will be in the film. So I don't know. I'm not a lawyer, but I think a lot of it does depend on how you're going to use it and the purpose of it. If you're going to try and sell it versus if you're just having fun trying new things.
Totally. Yeah. Totally. I also think that in my experience, people that I know that do surface design type work as their job, unfortunately, they don't really have a whole lot of rights. It's hard to stop a company or a person from ripping your pattern. It's not like photography, which I feel is maybe slightly more litigious and slightly more sure, even if it's not sure at all. And so I've had friends that have say worked on a really cool pattern, and then they give it to the company, or it's like made for a company, and maybe they pay for like one use of it or something, but then they use it on everything for things outside of the original use, and she doesn't get any kind of money for that. And I think that's kind of hard.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the same for, say, sampling songs.
Probably. I mean, the way I see it, as far as I know, like, let's say I created the Nike logo. Mm-hmm. I get paid that one time, however much they give me, if it's 500,000 or a million or whatever they deem it's worth. Then they're going to print that up a billion other times and have it all over the world, to the point where every time you see a swoosh that looks like that, except cleaner, you know, that's Nike. So I don't know. That stuff is very fuzzy.
Yeah. And, yeah, really.
Neil's asking you a question, Lauren. It says, is this a brush tip, bullet tip, or chisel tip marker?
Ooh, great lingo there. I think this is chisel. I really like the brush tip ones. Those are my Copic ones. One is a bullet tip. This is, got to get this in the camera. This one's a bullet tip on this end. And then it's got chisel tip on this end. So chisel I use to block out shapes, right? And the bullet one I'll do to actually fill in the patterns. For brush, I would use that either for blending or for blocking out shapes generally. It's not very good for getting the detail of patterns.
Maya Hika says, any other brands of markers that can be refillable aside from Copics? Because a set of Copics are hella expensive, and I don't think art stores here in my place have inks to refill them.
Yeah, interesting. So I will say right off the bat that the markers that are refillable are going to be more expensive because it's just capitalism, right? You're going to end up spending less money on them over time. So they need it's like buying a printer. They need to charge you somewhere for something, and the inks are cheap. So the refillable ones can be a little bit more expensive. Liquitex has refillable ones. Check these out. These are huge. Let me see if I can even open one here. So this is an enormous marker. You can fill it up. They come in different sizes. You can buy replaceable nibs. Molotow, which is another pigment marker, that one is refillable, and you can even make your own inks and put them into the marker, a little marker body that they have, which I think is pretty cool. For dye-based markers, I really have to think about it. The only ones that I have personally used are the Copic ones. There are lots of dye-based markers out there, or they're more prevalent, I think, than pigment markers. But they're, say, Faber-Castell or Crayola or anything else. So give me some time. I can do some research on that. Wow, I think I made this way too long here.
Let's see. Maika says, Jordan, do you ever flip your canvas from time to time? You know what? I forgot about flipping canvases until you brought that up. I should probably do it more. And the reason, so for people who don't know the purpose of that, it's the same technique as putting your piece up in a mirror and seeing it from a different perspective. Seeing what flaws there are that staring at a drawing for too long kind of prevents. So I should do it more. I don't do it enough. I usually do it when it comes to painting more than anything. When I'm just drawing, I usually don't, because I'm usually spending a significantly less amount of time. But when it's a painting, like a portrait, like you see on my Instagram or something, and it's just super laborious and it's 20, 25, 30 hours or whatever, then I'll flip in a lot more often.
Yeah, same. Same.
Yeah. I forgot about that. I remember the first time I discovered that on my own, I was drawing a picture of Biggie Smalls, the rapper, and I was like, what would happen if I just put this in the mirror and just out of nowhere? And then I saw all the flaws. I was like, whoa, crazy. I was like 15 when I did that.
It's really, like when you see yourself in a non-flipped mirror for the first time.
Yeah.
Oh no, why does my face look so weird?
Yeah. Why is this birthmark on the wrong side of my face? You know, it's like,
just, or you notice that your head for the first time is asymmetrical and then you focus on it forever.
Yeah.
That's interesting though. I would have thought that you would have gotten that out of one of your theory books, you know? That's where I heard about flipping first.
Yeah, well, at the time I was 15, I didn't have any classes that were that intense, you know? I had art classes, of course, but, you know.
Yeah,
it was just something I just discovered, and I found out it was an actual technique, and I was like, oh, well, I feel really smart. That was cool. Neil's asking, Lauren, what do you fill in those paint markers? Can I just use regular acrylic paints as refills?
Yes, you can. Actually, you can even make your own marker by using a straw and a piece of felt stuck in the straw. And then you fill in, I mean, you want to pack that with a lot of felt, but then you put ink down one end and then it goes into the felt and then you can draw with it. Yeah, it's really cool. But you can also do dyes if you want to. That's fine. But I think just as something that's more analogous to my process, I use acrylic. You're so good at getting to the comments, Jordan. There are millions of things to focus on here.
Oh, don't even worry about it. This is your first stream, and I know you mentioned that you're nervous. I'm like, let me just take the comments off your hands a little bit. Next time you can cover me.
Okay, will do. I'm in your debt now.
There we go.
Oh wow, let's see. I'm looking at all of these comments now. This is cool. Oh wait. How do I get it? We have an anonymous super chat. And thank you, Anonymous. You're awesome. $5 going towards people that need art lessons, use Art Prof, and can get them here.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
Cool. This is a really fun drawing. I feel a little bit more loose now. What about you?
Oh yeah, I think this drawing is just easier overall.
Oh, I love your colors. They're so beautiful.
Oh, well, thanks. I literally just going based on what I see she's wearing. She's got a great palette though. Are you drawing the same one as me? You are, right?
Yeah, I am. I'm just not as far along yet. No, I like that yellowy color because it's not quite, I mean, you just probably haven't added the highlights in it yet, but I actually prefer that mustardy yellow. It's really beautiful.
Awesome. Yay. It's working. It's always nice when someone's like, your art's dope. Heck yeah.
Oh, I want this purple to work.
Oh, that sound. Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I started getting little, you know,
huh?
I was on a chalkboard for a second.
Oh, sorry. No,
I just wasn't prepared. Now, if I'm prepared for it, you could do it. But I was like, whoa, what is that?
Oh, it's, I think this one's just really dead, which I'm sad about. Let me see if I have another purple that I can use here.
I don't want to mess up your flow. I'll just ignore it. Don't worry.
It's the marker itself is dead. It's maybe I could use the blue. Maybe the blue's working, and then I'll put the purple on top. Okay. This one has a color. Let's start with this. This is what I really wanted to do was put down the big blocks of color. This is the big guns here.
Oh yeah.
This makes you feel so good when you can put down a ton really, really fast.
Oh yeah, that's one of my favorite things, when I can just take a big brush like this and just go to town. Just have
Yeah.
fun.
So technically this is another dead marker that I have here, dead-ish. It's a Liquitex one. It's ultramarine blue. So sometimes, yeah, what you guys are probably familiar with is blending markers, blending colors together. And so I'm gonna attempt to do that here. Ooh, that is a cool plummy color. I don't even know. Is that mauve? Is that taupe? What color is taupe? Do you know?
I don't. I bet my god sister would know. I went to visit my god sister. She's 7, and she I asked her what her favorite color was, and she literally named like 30 colors. And she was like, I like green and fuchsia and lavender, and I like pink, and like, it just went down the list. And I was like, you could not have narrowed that down for me, like, at all, could you?
What child knows about the color fuchsia?
It was so precious. She took me through an entire like designer catalog, like of when I was like fancy home building ones. It showed me every single page and told me why certain designs were good and why certain ones were bad and what she would change about them. Like, she went through the entire 100-page magazine. I was like, wow, okay. This girl is going places. She's 7. She's 7. It's so cute.
Already has her career laid out for her right there.
Basically.
That's amazing. Let's see.
Yeah, but okay. To answer your question, I don't know what taupe looks like off the top of my head.
Anybody in the chat know what color taupe is? It reminds me of the word topiary, which is not the same thing.
I was thinking topaz.
Topaz. I think taupe is a beige color. I'm not sure, though.
I said, yeah, I just don't know.
There was, when I was in Wales visiting my relatives, 10 years ago, my cousin's dad wore like khaki on top of khaki, and she yelled really embarrassingly, "Dad, you can't go out like that. You're double beiging. You can't double beiging. You can't
beige." What does that mean? I've never heard that phrase before.
I hadn't either. I think it's probably made up, but I love it. Don't double beige. It's fashion faux pas.
It sounds like something that someone in Mean Girls would say.
Yeah.
Like we don't double beige on Thursdays or something. You
know? We wear pink on Fridays.
Right. Slayton Lee says taupe is a purplish gray.
Oh, I was right. I was right.
You go, birthday twin.
Thanks, birthday twin.
Yeah. Let's see.
Wow. I just like pulled that out of I don't know where.
The artist vocabulary inside, yeah.
Yeah, it was lying dormant.
Dormant?
Dormant. Well, I don't know. Did you talk with a lot of people over the pandemic? Or did you just hang out by yourself?
You mean in person or like just
in general?
I tried to hang out with as many people online as I could, but in person I saw the same like 6 people for the like a year. Yeah, and that was not ideal. That's all I could say. I love those people, but I need more than 6. That's what I'm gonna say.
So you got to practice talking. You had conversations with people. You hung out with people a little bit-ish, whether online or in person.
Sure.
So there are some people, I think I verged on this a little bit, where I chose the pandemic to just not talk to anyone, period, at all. And I think I've forgotten words.
Oh, I see.
So I think it's interesting that in having conversations and just doing your regular human thing every day and talking and socializing, you're upkeeping your ability to speak and to know words. And it goes away if you don't use them.
I can believe that. The thing about me is I live in a very small space, and then just only being around me, it forces me to want to discuss with other people. Cause I'm like, I cannot do this. I cannot be alone for that length of time and not have any sort of social interaction. It just drives me insane. So.
Yeah, I feel like it is probably one of those basic human need type things, like Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Need to have other people around in some capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. Marjik says, Lauren, those little flowers are adorable.
Oh, thanks. I kind of like them too. I haven't done anything on the actual, like, we're going opposite here. Jordan, you got the whole pattern down. I love the way that you're doing that, by the way. It's so nice.
Thank you.
Background.
Yeah, I'm just playing around with this. I'm not even sure exactly what I'm doing, but it's fun.
Playing is good.
Yeah, see? Playing is good. You know, it just reminded me of, you know the movie Hercules?
Yes, of course.
Where he was like, if is good. Remember that?
in which part?
It was the little Pain and Panic. It was Hades' little minions.
Oh, yes.
And they're like, if he gets out of there. And they're like, if.
If. If is good. Yes. Oh, my God. I love those two. My favorite scenes in that whole movie were all the Hades and Pain and Panic ones.
It's hilarious. Like, as a kid, I was like, they're the villains. And, you know, I like Hercules more. But as I got older, I started watching. I was like, these guys are hilarious. Like, my goodness. Like, why don't more people like them? You know?
Totally.
It's just great.
I mean, it's the kind of, I don't know. They weren't, like, actual villains. They were, I mean, they weren't really anti-heroes either. But they were... You rooted for them a little bit.
Yeah, definitely antagonists, but they're fun to be around.
Yeah.
They're fun to see.
Yeah.
We have a comment from Vishaka. Wow, Lauren is putting backgrounds. She is so confident to have so much work done, seeing the pattern on that thing.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's I think it's easier when it's like a whole scene. Then it feels like you can put it together like a puzzle piece. Whereas that one of Iris was like, okay, here's the body. Here you go. You really have to focus on this. And this is a little bit more similar to maybe how I'm comfortable with an image being built. Like, it gets built all at once and the background balances out what's ever going on in the foreground. I don't know. Jordan, you really focus on, or you've done a lot of like character design stuff. Do you feel more comfortable doing things without backgrounds or with backgrounds?
Generally when I'm doing characters, I don't really worry about backgrounds very much. Mm-hmm. The only real thing I do is I make sure not to design a whole character with a white background, which is probably not a good idea considering I'm doing this, but just changing it real quick before I set, because usually what happens is when you're working digitally, the pure white background can often mess with your color perception. So that's that's really about as far as I will go in terms of that, unless. So typically in the industry that I work in, people are responsible for different things. So some people will work on backgrounds. Some people work on just coloring the characters. Some people work on just designing the characters in line. And so it's a combination of like the efforts of 70 different people before you get a final product. So that's kind of how I treat it.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That, especially what you said about the white affecting your eyes. I always think about that with, I mean, I don't do a lot of like digital work, but the computer screen is really intense in the way that a piece of paper is maybe a little bit less intense. You're dealing with material with paper and not light. But you have this situation where you've got this bright light shining at you.
Yep.
And that's got to be tricky trying to account for that.
Yeah. So that's, it's just an easy trick. Just make the background just a little bit more gray or something, or a little neutral. And it usually helps. And it's less distracting, I find. Oh, 10,000 Crows just sent us a super sticker for $5. Thank you so much for your continued support. You are so awesome. And, oh, this is so exciting. Everyone's helping Art Prof, helping us stay free and all that. So cool.
Thank you. Thank you, 10,000 Crows. I feel like I haven't seen you in a while. It's nice to see you again. Good to hear from you again. Okay, yeah, this purple came out. So this purple, this is a marker that I don't use often, and it's very intense. It's making a very intense color. So I'm deciding to kind of stipple it over the blue because I like the way that this blue feels like a waterfall. Mm-hmm. So I'm only really using it for the shadowy-ish areas right now.
Well, we have a comment from Vishaka. It says, but what when there's a lot of patterns on the clothes and then backgrounds also have a pattern, we might lose the focus from the scene? Go ahead.
Yeah, that is certainly, you can either make that your subject matter or you can create a hierarchy of patterns. And what I mean by that is similar to the way the rest of a hierarchy of an image works out. So highly contrasted things are always going to come forward. Low contrasted things are always going to fall back. This goes for all the types of contrast. This is like super hard edges versus super blurry edges, complementary colors versus analogous colors, black and white versus gray on gray. So, or having something super busy versus something that doesn't have a lot of information going on. So you can make your more intensely patterned thing be the thing that comes forward and then make a bigger pattern in the background. Right now I'm not doing a good job of either of these things. They're both really intensely patterned, but I also don't necessarily care if my figures fall into the background.
Love that blatant honesty. She's like, I just don't really care all that much. That's funny.
I mean, how do you deal with that, Jordan? I feel like your backgrounds are very vast feeling when you do them. Like, there's a clear difference between figure and background.
Yeah, I think separation is key. And the way I look at it is like, what's the focus? Is my focus on characters or is it on the environment? And I will design my piece based on that. Because in an image, you're really trying to communicate one, maybe two things. And they both have to play off each other. So I'll just make sure that it looks like a strong illustration in general. And I try not to lose the focus on what's more important. You know, if the background's more important, then I might skimp on the characters a little bit. If the characters are more important, then I might have a rougher background. It just really depends. Anonin says, I've learned a lot about the importance of backgrounds from Art Prof streams. Oh, that's awesome. So cool. Glad you're learning.
Yeah, that's what we're here for. That's why we do all those streams on backgrounds. They're so important. We're going to spread the background gospel to everybody.
Precisely. All right, Laura, we got to wrap up soon. So put your finishing touches on it.
Oh, wow. Really? We're already done?
Just about. Got about.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
We're done.
I'm just looking at your background really for the first time. It looks so fun.
Thanks. We should just put our two images together. We should Photoshop them together. So your person goes well with my background.
Here, I'll just put it next to it for right now.
This is so cool. I love that. I love seeing screenshot that. I love this. It's
great. Well, we'll post it in the Discord for sure.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah. And speaking of which, guys, we're going to get going now, but please join us in the Art Prof Discord and the Art Alongs channel where you guys can share all the art that you've done with us today, and we would love to see it. Please subscribe to the Art Prof YouTube channel. And then we also want to say thank you to our top Patreon supporters. You guys have been so helpful and are so amazing keeping this community alive. And again, thank you for everyone who gave us the super chats today. You guys are awesome. And we will see you next time. Take care, everyone. Peace.
Bye.